Hello, my name is Cindy. I'm the receptionist at the Super Mario Brothers Plumbing Company. I've been with the company since it started, and to tell you the truth, I don't know why I'm still here. Mario and Luigi never do no plumbing anymore. All they do is try to rescue the princess that keeps getting kidnapped, and yes, it's the same princess. I don't know why anyone would call plumbers to save a kidnapped princess. I would call Liam Neeson, but they do, and whatever, there they go, trying to save her. Mario keeps telling me she's playing hard to get, and I keep telling him, Mario, she's stringing you along. But whatever, I keep telling them. She's been kidnapped so many times, let her go, she doesn't want to be here anymore. You know how hard it is to get calls from people with plumbing emergencies? And I just gotta tell them, like, they can't come fix your leak. They're hanging out with mushrooms and a dancing sun that chases after them, you know? Anyway, no big whoop. The guys are out, but they told me to record this commercial, so here it goes. If you sprang a leak or have a loved one kidnapped, call the Super Mario Brothers Plumbing Company. We can fix anything! What's going on, everybody? This is another episode of To Be Continued with Cristela Alonso, and guess what? Ah, applause from the crowd. I am Cristela Alonso. You guys, I finally did it. I finally recorded another podcast. It's been a while, I know. Actually, for those of you that listen to this podcast, all four of you, thank you for asking me when I was going to record another episode. I wasn't sure. If you hadn't noticed, maybe some of you had, I took a break from social media for about, 2 months or so, maybe almost three, and I needed it. I needed a break. You know, I was working on a book that I thought would come out this year, and it got pushed to next year for no reason. And after that, I just needed to take a break because I spent so much time writing it. I was in a rush writing it. And then once they pushed it to next year, I was like, ooh, I have breathing room. So it's nice, you know, it was nice to be away from social media. I realized being off of social media that, you know, we have become obsessed, a lot of us, with social media in such a toxic and negative way. And it wasn't till I took a break that I realized certain themes that exist on social media, especially Twitter. You know, I can tell you that from my time away, it was nice to not see people try to condense their points of views into one meme. Because I feel like now we've become this culture where we would rather create little JPEGs, little viral memes or something instead of using our words. And how does that help anybody? It doesn't. Now we're just fighting with pictures. It's like we're kids and we've got picture books and we're just trying to top each other and no one wins. So it was nice to get away from that. It was also nice to take a break from the trolling. Oh my, like I didn't realize how much trolling I go through, I deal with on an everyday basis until I didn't have to deal with it anymore. Because, especially about my looks, let me tell you, I get so many critiques. I get so much criticism about my looks, and they're on both ends. Some people think that I've changed a lot and I've become quote unquote to Hollywood. Other people think that I'm not attractive enough and they feel like they have to tell me. And it's so weird to me because I don't understand where it comes from. I would never go to someone's profile that I didn't know and tell them, hey, I don't know you, but I think you're ugly. I'll give you some examples of some comments that I've been getting, which I don't understand. So in the past year, and in a couple of weeks, it will be exactly 1 year, I have lost over 30 pounds. Now, I don't weigh myself very often. I will weigh myself when I go to the doctor's office, and I've been going to the doctor's every 3 months for checkups. So I know that I've lost, last time that I went over there to the office, I have lost over 30 pounds. Now, the weight loss has had a lot of people say positive things like, oh my God, you look great, da da da, like you look so hot, blah blah blah, which is makes me feel uncomfortable, but whatever. And then there's other people that get mad at me for losing the weight, and they'll say, oh, I can't believe you went Hollywood, you're just, you know, you're succumbing to the peer pressure of Hollywood standards and blah blah blah. And I wanted to take a minute to actually address that, because this is something I've noticed in the past year. You know, when people criticize or praise my weight loss, I've learned that a lot of times when we compliment people on weight loss, we compliment them on a very superficial level. You look good, you look better, you look great, or you look fake, you look like not yourself anymore, I liked you when you were bigger, blah, blah, blah. And what I'd like to take a moment to tell people is that for me, my weight loss journey actually came from a medical problem. I found out that I was sick with something, and I still struggle with it. And I haven't gone publicly with it, and I probably will talk about it in my next hour stand-up special. But I'm not ready to talk about it. Seriously, the last year has been about me taking care of myself and me really just getting healthy. And it's weird because getting healthy for me was changing my diet, changing my lifestyle, and as a result of taking care of myself and trying not to die, I lost weight. So for me, it wasn't something that I was seeking to do because I wanted to wear smaller clothes or anything, and I'm not judging anybody that wants to lose weight because of that. For me, I was trying to take care of myself. And one thing I've learned about that is that I find that when people compliment my looks, when they compliment my weight loss, it actually makes me feel uncomfortable because I know why I lost the weight, which was, you know, to take care of myself. So when people compliment me or even reference both negative and positively the weight loss, there's part of me inside that starts immediately thinking, oh, if you only knew why I started taking care of myself. You know, it wasn't for anything, any physical reasons. When I decided to take care of myself and change my lifestyle, not that I chose, the doctor forced me to, I learned that the best way to do it was to do it the hard way. And that's why I started vlogging, which is something that I post videos about every now and then. I've been sick for the past week or so I haven't been able to post in a while, but my walking, for those of you that don't know, is my form of working out, which is a half walk, half jog. And I've been doing it for about a year now as well. So what I do is that I pick something that's 2 miles away or so, an errand that I'm going to do, and I jog to the errand, I do the errand, and then I walk back to my apartment having done the errand. And it's something that I needed to do because I also was told by my doctor last year that I had a severe vitamin D deficiency, like really, really low. And part of my treatment was to undergo like these severe, strong doses of vitamin D. And she also told me, you have to go out into the sun. And for me, going out into the sun is a big no-no. It's never been my thing. I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, I used to be really dark. Dark-complected, even more than I am now. And kids used to make fun of me for being so dark-skinned, so dark-complected. And it made me feel bad. And I noticed that I used to like going out and playing. I was very athletic. I liked playing sports, baseball, kickball, like anything. I always hung out with the guys, you know, and just play and stuff. And I noticed it wasn't until, I don't even know, I was in elementary school, maybe third grade going into fourth grade, where during the summer I noticed that I wouldn't go outside because my mom was very strict and she wanted me to be inside. I was a latchkey kid. So I noticed that when I went back to school, the kids started complimenting me on having a lighter complexion. And I realized that they weren't making fun of me as much anymore. And I decided to not go out into the sun as much anymore, because it, for me, it was a way to defend myself. It was a way to protect myself. And, you know, it became this thing where along the years in the summer, I don't even think I realized it till recently when I found out about the vitamin D deficiency, that I never go outside because I think maybe partially that I have been made as a young child to always feel embarrassed about my complexion. And that was very interesting. And then as you know, you get older, you start hearing about like protecting your skin from, you know, the sun and sun cancer, you know, everything and sun damage to your skin. So I think that all of that made me feel more comfortable and not going outside and not being outdoors. So this past year has actually been about not only me losing weight for my health and my life, it's also been about me going and getting more sun, which allows me to be more of the natural color that I always was as a child. So people start complimenting me on the nice tan. And again, I'm the same way with the weight loss, where when they compliment me on my tan, I start thinking, I'm actually doing this because I have health issues. And it's weird because like accidentally, this new lifestyle that I decided to focus on, this change, made me, I guess, look better to people, but they didn't know I'm really just trying to take care of myself and save my life. And it wasn't till I stepped away from social media that I realized that it's just about, you know, people trolling me all the time. And it's funny because I've noticed that the people that troll me the most, they're themselves, they have private accounts, so they don't want anybody to see what they look like, yet they feel entitled to come and tell me what they think of me, you know? And then there's people that, you know, troll me so excessively that I start thinking, wow, you're an ugly person. I can't even see your face, but I know you're ugly by the way you behave, by the things you say. And, you know, I immediately start thinking, oh, well, maybe I am ugly, because obviously these experts, these people that are criticizing my looks are experts on ugliness, so I should listen to the experts. By the way, in case you're hearing background noise, the moment I decided to tape this podcast, to record this podcast, every sound available started happening. I had trash trucks going around. There's a guy mowing the lawn outside, which never happens. And of course, it just happened right when I started doing this podcast. So bear with me. I don't want to stop. I just want to go, go, go. In the words of Cruz Ramirez from Cars 3, I'm going to use that. Anyway, so, you know, what's funny is that the break that I took from social media actually ended up stressing me out in the end, because I guess I was off Twitter for 2 months. And here's my thing. So when I deactivated my Twitter, I made sure that when I was deactivating my account, Twitter said that I had 9 months to log into my account before everything started to get deleted, erased, my tweets, my followers, everything. So I deactivated it thinking that I had the 9 months. Well, after 2 months, I tried to log into my Twitter account and I was locked out and I didn't know why. And I started trying and I started thinking, well, did I forget my password? Because I know I'm not the only one. I have to reset my password so often because every website is so specific as hell when it comes to the password. It's like, it needs to have a capital letter, a number, a special character. You can't use old passwords. You can't do this, da, da, da. You know, and then when you forget your password, they ask you the security questions, which sometimes I don't remember because the security questions don't apply to me a lot of times. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, where did you meet your significant other? I don't got one. Next question. Like, you know, like, what was the name of the, you know, what was the name of your blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I don't have one. But what's the name of your best friend? What is this? Now you're just making me feel lonely. Like, I forgot my password and now I just feel like I'm the loneliest person. Now you're depressing me because I can't remember my password. Anyway. So I freaked out and I emailed my agents, my representation, and they wanted to check into it. And it turns out it took about 2 months for me to get my Twitter account back. And check this out. This is a PSA. The more you know, ding, 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 ding. When net neutrality happened, Twitter changed the rules. Remember, there was a time when anytime you went into a website, they were just like, we've changed our da-da-da privacy policy, blah, 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 click. And we all kind of click accept and we're just like, whatever. I mean, sometimes I feel like one of these days I'm going to give away my car to some website, like an app or something, because I'm like, I don't have time to read all this. But yeah, so when net neutrality happened, Twitter changed their rules, which, remember, I was not active on Twitter during this time. So they changed their new rule that if you deactivate your account and you don't log in within a month, they delete it. Like, they delete everything. They delete your tweets, they delete your followers, everything. My account was gone because I waited 2 months, because when I had deactivated my account, Twitter had told me I had 9 months. So with the change of rules that happened when I wasn't around, I lost everything. It took about 2 months of back and forth between my agents and Twitter. And thank God I had representation that could help me, because when I started posting about this, I realized that a lot of people were having similar problems and they just lost their account completely. It took about 2 months for me to get my username back. I couldn't even get my name back. And then I couldn't even get verified. In order to get verified, I had to prove that I basically mattered. So, and it's all from the strict rules, and this is supposed to help people not hack into old accounts and start, you know, spamming or being, you know, doing bot stuff, whatever. I don't even know. But this all happened, so I had to start everything all over again. I've got about a little over 3,000 followers right now, and when I logged off of Twitter, I want to say that I had about 54,000, I think. So I went from 54,000 down to 3,000. And I've actually built up the 3,000 in about maybe 2 weeks or so. So if you followed me before on Twitter and you don't anymore, go ahead and follow me at my Twitter handle. It's Cristela9. I'm verified. It's Cristela and the number 9. And let's see if I can bring up my followers. It's just so weird to have everything deleted. My tweets are gone, my followers are gone, I can't remember people I followed. So anyway, I'd like to think that it's like a purge, you know? I'd like to think, oh, you know what, this is for the best. So I can start over and rebuild and, you know, try to connect with people that maybe were from my past and maybe new friends from the future. So just want to let you guys know, PSA, be careful when you deactivate your Twitter account. If you want to come back, if you want to take a break, that's great. If you want to come back, sign into your account before a month happens, because then, boom, it's done. So having said all of that, let me tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. So I decided to come back to social media. Again, I was taking like a mental healthcare break, self-care, and I felt like I wasn't really ready to come back to social media, but I had to. I realized I had to because the separations of families were happening. The kids were being separated from parents, you know, immigrants from other countries coming here seeking refuge. They were being separated from their families, their loved ones, and they were being put in different detention centers. And one of the areas affected by it quite a bit is my hometown area of the Rio Grande Valley. That is McAllen, Texas, Brownsville, Harlingen. It's a border town area in South Texas. It's right next to Mexico. Some of the cities are like Reynosa, Matamoros, you know. So I grew up there. I am from a mixed status family. My mom and my oldest brother were undocumented. My oldest brother became a citizen, finally took the oath 2 years ago after about 30 years of trying. So this issue was very special to me. They had nationwide rallies to protest and bring attention to the problem of families being separated. And I was in New York, and I was so close to going to Washington, D.C. for the big national rally, because everybody was talking about that one. And I decided not to go to D.C., and I decided to fly down and hang out with my hometown and hang out with, you know, I was born in San Juan, Texas, which is a little tiny town outside of McAllen, Texas, which is the big city for me growing up. And I wanted to be with my people. I wanted to be with my community. And I took part in this fast that was that was done by a local grassroots nonprofit organization in the Rio Grande Valley called Lupe. It's an organization that was founded by Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, who is a friend of mine. Hi, Dolores. And basically, they were doing a 24-hour fast for 24 days, I want to say. And it was... I took part of it the day of the rally. And the point of the fast was to actually protest the family separations as Cesar Chavez did years ago in a non-violent protest when he fasted for the rights of workers. So I took a part of that. I went to Casa Padre, one of the detention centers that had been in the news, and I was not prepared for how I felt when I saw it. It just seemed like it seemed like it became a reality. I knew it was real, but when you have the place right in front of your face, your feelings change, your mind changes, it becomes something different, and I can't explain it. But I was overall very happy. I was very happy with the choice I made, meaning not literally happy. I felt like I needed to be in McAllen, and I was glad to be in McAllen in Brownsville during that weekend. And I've been trying to help out the Lupe organization in South Texas. I've been going back to Texas a couple times. I'm actually going back to Texas in a couple days. Lupe's doing a Lupe RGV, I think. That's their Twitter handle. And I want to say their Instagram handle. They're doing a school supply drives for kids that live in the colonias. So basically, if you guys don't know, what's a colonia? A colonia is basically a little makeshift neighborhood, basically, that has been created outside of like the city limits. And it's where, in my area, the colonias growing up, that's where people that had no money set up their lives. And you know, the colonias in South Texas, and you know, I only speak about the ones in South Texas from my time growing up there. You know, it's the thing where a lot of these areas don't have drainage. So when it rains, and it does rain a lot, you know, in my area, most of the families lose their possessions because they don't have a way to protect themselves. So the Lupe organization does this school supply drive every year. And I started out, I did a donation run with them already. And I'm going back this week to help bring more donations to the kids, because my family, we were those kids. We still talk about how when we were younger, there's four of us, our mom would buy school supplies and she would make us share them amongst us. So we always have this memory of our brother buying the 200 sheets of paper, the binder paper. We would buy a package. Back then it was like a quarter for the package or something, even cheaper, I think. And we would open it up and we would split up the package, and each of us got 50 sheets of paper for the school. So for me, this is really personal again. And I went to buy them school supplies, and I want to help them out again. So in case you're listening to this, you can feel free to donate to the school supply drive. It's for Lupe. I want to say it's lupe.net. That's their lupenet.org, I think, is their website. You can find information about them on Twitter, Instagram, and on my page too. And I just think it's a worthy cause. It's my way of giving back to the community that helped raise me. And I'm really grateful for everybody down there. I'm really grateful for the people. I'm really grateful for the community. And I feel like this is the very least I can do to help them. Also, in my time away, I did a fun little project, which I actually got to go to Comic-Con this last week in San Diego, the big San Diego Comic-Con, for the first time ever. I went for a scripted science fiction podcast called Bubble, and it's from Maximum Fun. That's a podcast network. It was created by Jordan Morris and executive produced by Jesse Thorne, who is the owner of Maximum Fun. I loved it. I loved getting invited to be part of this podcast. It's 8 episodes right now. You can catch up on them on Max Fun. And I really loved being a part of it because it's science fiction, and I love science fiction. I have grown up loving science fiction, but I never get to be in science fiction things, you know? And I always say that as a Latina, as a woman of color, Latina, a Mexican-American woman, I don't get the auditions for sci-fi because we don't normally get to see ourselves in sci-fi. When I say that, somebody will always say, well, what about Zoe Saldana? Well, I'm not her, right? So when they asked me to be part of the science fiction podcast, I was like, yes, all the way, yes. Because doing a podcast about science fiction, I feel, is a great way for me to indulge my love of science fiction. And I can actually be judged by my voice, not by how I look. I keep telling everybody I love Star Trek Next Generation. I love, you know, Doctor Who, all the sci-fi shows I love, but it's always been weird to me how Latinos didn't really survive into the future somehow, but yet the British accent did, which I think is so weird. Like, what? Okay, I'll go with that. So I got to go to Comic-Con and hang out with the cast of Bubble, which I had a blast. Everybody is super awesome. I suggest you follow everybody. It's it was a cast, let's see, I got to hang out with Eliza Skinner, who I just totally fell in love with. Travis McElroy, same. Allison Becker, Mike Mitchell, oh my God. I am trying to draw a blank on purpose. There's a lot of people that I really had fun with. And you know what I liked? It was my first time at San Diego Comic-Con, not my first time at a con. Now, I've gone to cons. I usually go to the smaller cons because I have really bad social anxiety and crowds freak me out. So I've always avoided the San Diego Comic-Con because it's like the Super Bowl of cons, you know? But I'll tell you, I hadn't been to a con in a while. And by that, I mean, not only sci-fi or like comic book, you know, cons, I used to go to horror movie cons. Fangoria used to do these horror movie cons, festivals that I would go to every year and stuff for fun. I hadn't been to one in a while because of my schedule. And I gotta admit, you know, it felt so good to be at a comic con amongst people that had similar tastes to me. You know, it was comforting. There's something about it that just seems very pure and innocent to me. I can talk like Star Trek. I can talk Doctor Who. I can talk animation. I can talk comic books. I can talk Nintendo. I can talk anything I want to talk about. And I know that people won't judge me because they're into it too. Well, let me take that back. There will be people that will judge me because, you know, Eliza and I were talking this weekend about how we're female nerds. We're into nerdy things, you know? We love a lot of nerdy stuff, and we feel that in the past couple of years, we have to always defend and prove our love of all things nerdy to people that, mostly guys, that think that we have to explain our existence to them. Which is so weird to me, because when I was a young kid, when I was a kid, I was always kind of seen uncool because I was a nerd, because I liked the things that I liked. Which, trust me, I never had a problem with. I always thought that if people didn't like my likes, they weren't cool enough to hang out with me anyway. But then as I got older and the nerd geekdom thing became more of a mainstream thing, I realized that now people didn't think that I was good enough to be a nerd slash geek. And I didn't understand that because I'm like, so when I was younger, I wasn't accepted as a nerd because I liked everything that wasn't quote unquote cool. And now as an adult, I'm not considered a nerd or geek or something because now everybody thinks that they're more of an expert than me. And actually, I take it back. I don't mean everybody. I mean a small percentage of people. Like I said, I like going to comic cons because I get to hang out with my tribe. You know, I get to hang out with other people that grew up like me. And, you know, it reminded me of a simpler time. I actually recorded a podcast about Star Trek Next Generation this week, and I was telling my friend Alice, who hosts the podcast, she's one of the hosts, and we're talking about how sometimes I watch Star Trek Next Generation at home as an adult right now, you know, I'll sit down and watch it on Netflix, and I watch it because it reminds me of a time when I didn't think about so much. I didn't you know, it was a different time when I didn't feel so stressed out by the world. And, you know, it was funny because Alice actually mentioned, she referred to it as comfort food. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, that's actually a great point. For me, watching Star Trek Next Generation is kind of like my comfort food because it reminds me of being a kid and just watching those shows and thinking that anything was possible. And there's something so beautiful about that and so so simple about it, but simple in a good way that I don't know, it made me feel good. So that's kind of what I've been up to, guys. I had a little break from social media, but I'm back and better than ever. What? The sequel? I came back to social media to show my support for all the undocumented immigrants that are just coming here to have a chance at life, which, you know, I think we should all take a moment to remember the words written on the Statue of Liberty, which is actually one of the icons, one of the emblems of what this country is supposed to be about, and think about how we're not treating our undocumented immigrant brothers and sisters in that way. And I got to go to Comic-Con and really kind of reconnect with my childhood in a way that I hadn't felt connected to in a long time. So that's what's been going on with me. Now, I'm going to take a short little break. We're going to have a word from our sponsors, which is just me doing a commercial. And we will be right back with more of To Be Continued with Christelle Alonso. See you in a bit. Do you have too much extra time on your hands and think, I need to feel worse about myself. How do I do that? Well, have I got the perfect thing for you. It's called Pinterest. Pinterest is a website filled with projects that most of you can never do, but boy, do they make it seem super duper easy. You got your kid's birthday party coming up? Try to build a chocolate lava volcano from Pinterest. Are you getting married? Have a Princess Bride engagement photo shoot done with costumes made out of toilet paper. I know, it's so easy. So next time you're sitting down with time on your hands and a healthy ego, go to Pinterest and say, why yes, I do need to make my own wedding invitations from discarded vintage 80s concert tees. Pinterest, the perfect way to make you feel like your life could never be better. It totally could be better. And we're back. Pinterest for me actually is interesting because I do see some of my friends, they'll find these projects and I'm like, this looks great, but man, is it really necessary? It's like, it's, you know, I always say it's like, it's not even do it yourself. It's do it your damn self. Like it is just, it's like building IKEA furniture, but not furniture, just like things made out of paper for crafts or something. So I tried getting into Pinterest when it first came out and it just wasn't my thing. So I wish everybody luck to those who want to do those projects and nail it. I wish you the best. So I've been talking about taking care of my health, both physically and mentally. And, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast for a bit, but it's weird. It's still weird for me to think that I find it a luxury to take care of myself. You know, it's not just something I didn't grow up with. And money made me realize that, you know, there are names for things I struggle with. Having money, and by that I don't mean, you know, being filthy rich, because I'm not. I just mean having money where I can pay my bills and have health insurance. You know, I've learned that things I have names. And let me tell you, to learn that things you have names is so life-changing. You know, money made me realize that when I get depressed, when I feel depressed, it's a real thing. Depression is a real thing. See, when I was growing up in my neighborhood, again, I talk about it, we didn't have a lot of money. When I felt depressed and I tried to tell people would just tell me, get over it. Life is hard. And that was it. I had no help. I had no one to seek out. I had no assistance. I had no way of reaching out to someone, because I grew up in a time before the internet. We didn't know what programs existed. We didn't know what was happening. And let's face it, a lot of people in my neighborhood were going through the same thing. we were all struggling, and with struggle a lot of times comes depression. So it's weird now that I know that feeling depressed is an actual feeling. It makes me feel so much stronger, because now I know that I'm not weird. And I know it seems strange for me to say that, but again, it's learning the names of things. It's learning that things exist that makes you feel so much more powerful. It's that idea that you have that knowledge within you that you're thinking, I actually had a thing. I have a thing. I deal with things. Anxiety. I deal with anxiety. Oh my, that's a thing. Social anxiety. Again, like I said, crowds make me feel very uncomfortable. And it's weird because of my job, but I love what I do for a living. I love the work of it. But sometimes I get very nervous and I freak out when I'm around crowds of people. And I always thought that it was just my personality. And now I realize that it's a thing that I actually deal with. And again, knowing that I have those things, it makes me feel powerful, because now I know how to be aware of them and how to try to take care of myself better. So that's really interesting, you know? And I started thinking about that. The luxury, the term of, you know, the term I use, the luxury of having health insurance, the luxury of being able to take care of myself. And I wanted to talk about the value we put on ourselves. I feel like a lot of times, you know, what we see on social media is that the more someone has, meaning the more fame they have, the more money they have, the more status, whatever they have, people seem to put them on a different level than them, because they think, well, they have that for some reason and I don't, so maybe that person has it figured out and I don't. The truth is, that's not the truth at all. Some people just were born into a wealthy family. Some people had the opportunities that some of us didn't know existed. That doesn't mean that we're not as valuable as those people. And I started thinking about that. And I think the best way to describe it is thinking about ourselves as clothes. Go with me on this. Now, I've noticed when clothes are expensive, we tend to treat them like they're royalty. You know, if you buy a designer anything, you're just like, oh my God, like if it's dry clean, I have to dry clean it because it costs so much money. Oh, look at this, it's beautiful. It's sold out now, so that means that I have this prized possession that's designer. I have to take care of it. If you have a purse, you have like this dust bag that you put this purse in another bag. You put your bag in another bag so it doesn't get dirty. You're like, oh, I can't get dirt on this bag. It was expensive. It's weird, you know? But think about it. We don't do that with cheap stuff. I mean, if I buy something super cheap on clearance, I don't treat it the same. I love Target. I love Target. I talk about Target all the time. And there's nothing better than finding something on clearance that has that magical $4.24 red tag on it. To me, I feel like I won the lotto. You know, I buy it, I wear it, but, and they see, I've struggled with that too. Because that item was $4.24, I don't treat it the same as this designer stuff that I might have, you know? It's weird because to me, I'm like, well, I bought it on clearance. You know, I can give it away, or dry clean. I think I can machine wash it. You know, whatever. You know, a lot of us tend to do that. We put value on the clothes depending on how much the clothes were sold at. So if the clothes are sold at a high amount, we treat them differently than if they're on clearance. But they're both clothes. And they're both things that we wear, and they're both things that make us sometimes feel good. They make us feel good because we look good in them, you know? And I think we do that with people. We think the more well-known someone is, the more special they are. But thinking about it, aren't we all special? I mean, literally, each one of us is an endangered species. We are the only one of our kind to exist on this planet. And once we're gone, our species, our type is gone with it. Doesn't that make us special enough? We walk around this planet being the only one of our kind. There is no one like us, so we need to take care of ourselves as if we were designer clothes. You know, that's something that I've been struggling with lately. This idea of making me aware that I'm worth being taken care of. You know, I grew up where you don't go to the doctor unless you're sick. I didn't even know what a checkup was. I didn't know that people went for checkups to doctors just to make sure that they're not sick. That just seemed excessive to me. And now, having been dealing with the stuff I've been dealing with for the past year, I realize, my God, it's important. It's a priority. And we need to treat it like a priority. We need to make sure that all of us can take care of ourselves the best we can, which is why, when I was saying earlier, I wanted to make sure that, you know, with my lifestyle change that my doctor had me in, aside from medications and everything, I wanted to do it the hard way, quote unquote, the hard way. I wanted to get in shape and lose weight in a healthy way without trainers or anything, because I wanted to show people that if I could do it, maybe they could do it too. You know, I started eating healthier. I didn't have anybody cook for me. I didn't do anything like that. I just started changing my habits because, again, I wanted to show people, once I wanted to, you know, explain things better, you know, that I had done it the quote unquote hard way. Because, you know, so many of us, we always want to say that we want to get in shape and we want to work on ourselves, but sometimes we don't. And we realize that though we say we want to, sometimes we really don't want to. We're not ready yet. And for me, I didn't really want to lose weight again, like I said, but I realized that I wanted to take care of myself and possibly not die, you know? And that's one of those things where I realize once it's a life and death situation, you find a way to take care of yourself. And basically, that's kind of what I've been struggling with lately. It's so weird because I'm such an adult, meaning not such an adult like, oh my God, mortgages, right? But, you know, I'm in my late 30s. And this is something, you know, I have friends that have kids and I don't have children. And it's that thing where I can't even take care of myself. I'm learning to take care of myself right now. You know, and that just goes to show you that sometimes age is a number, but really the way you grew up, the way that you develop, the way your surroundings, they all become part of you. So my version of late 30s is completely different from someone else's version of late 30s. And at times I feel like I have to catch up because I am really trying to get familiar with things that a lot of other people take for granted. Meet Rebecca, a successful businesswoman that almost has it all.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm a successful businesswoman that almost has it all.
The one thing she doesn't have is that special someone in her life.
The one thing I don't have is that special someone in my life. Wait, what?
This is the story of a woman that realizes she needs to find love to make her life complete.
Wait, no. I'm very happy being single. My life is complete. I have a job I love, family and friends I adore.
But Rebecca is lonely without a man.
Wait, you don't know me? Who the hell do you think you are?
Coming this fall, a romantic comedy where a girl pines for a man and gets him.
No. That is not me. Let's change that, okay? Coming this fall, a romantic comedy where a strong-ass woman, me, falls in love with herself, me, again. Okay?
Coming this fall, party of one.
Shut up! The name of the movie is I'm a grown-ass woman that loves herself and that's enough.
I'm sorry, that's a long name.
You better get out of my fucking face with that noise!
I wanted to do that commercial about romantic comedies because I tweeted about it. It's like, I would love to see a romantic comedy where it's just about someone falling in love with themselves, you know, and actually learning that their imperfections are beautiful, you know? I feel like a lot of times the romantic comedy is about, like, women and men finding each other and they live happily ever after, but how do we live happily ever after with someone else if we can't live happily ever after with just ourselves to begin with, right? So that actually leads, it's a perfect segue alert, everybody. what I'm into this week is myself. Now, I know I usually talk about a specific hobby or interest for the week, but this week I'd like to talk about how I've realized that I'm ready to do things again. Now, for a long while, I mean, for years, people have asked me when I'm going to come up with another TV show. When am I coming out with another stand-up special, etc., etc. And every time they asked me, I always say the same thing. I don't know. Now, it's interesting because in the past 4 years since my little sitcom was, has been off the air, I've met a lot of people and I've learned a lot of lessons. You know, I've met people that seemed like friends, only to have them be fake. In the past 4 years, a friendship with someone I had known for over 15 years ended because of opportunities they got in Hollywood. Oh well. You know, it took me a while to understand why these things happened, and then I realized that it said more about them than about me, and it took me time to process that. Now, having said that, I can tell you that I'm finally ready to do something. I'm finally ready to go out and try again. In the words of Aaliyah, try again. But anyway, I wanted to sing it, but then I'm like, I need backup singers. So there's some things that I feel like I'm ready to go out and do again. The thing is, I've talked about this before. I've been waiting until I was inspired to tell a story, because I didn't want to do anything just for money, you know? I wanted to really find a story that spoke to me. And this past year, I have had that happen. And I think a lot of it goes to what I've been talking about taking care of myself, being healthier, you know, mentally, physically, everything. I feel like I'm in a different place and I'm ready to go out and try again. So, you know, there's some people out there that actually thought that I haven't done anything in a while because nobody offered me anything, which, to tell you the truth, isn't true. I've been offered to do amazing things and I have said no to all of them because they didn't feel right. And, you know, some people might have thought that those opportunities were amazing and maybe they would be amazing for someone else, but they're not amazing for me. I know that about myself, and I can't say yes to something that I'm completely not 100% into. So now, you know, I feel like I'm ready. I'm feeling very productive about myself, and that's something that I haven't felt in a long time. You know, I contacted my agents and said that I wanted to tape a new stand-up special next year. You know, I told my other people that I have a TV show idea that I'm excited about. You know, I'm writing the book that's going to be out next year, which I'm so excited for people to read. If you like the podcast, you will love this book. This is really my love letter to my life and everybody that made it, both the villains and the heroes in my life. Heroes and villains make you. That's just how it is. And I felt like now I've gotten into this phase where I just feel more comfortable with where I am. I feel like I have a clearer head, and I rarely talk like that about myself. So for me to tell everybody that's listening that the thing I'm into this week is myself is a really big deal, because again, I struggle with any kind of self-confidence. And but I also feel like it's a new leaf in my little tree. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. So I think that's it for the week. I think I caught up with everybody in a certain way. I'm trying to do these podcasts on a regular basis. I will be very honest that I struggle with the podcasts. You know, if you like the podcast, tell others about it. Now, I've been doing this podcast on and off for a bit, and I have to tell you, part of the reason I don't do it regularly is because podcasts are a new thing for me that I'm not familiar with. I always wonder if anyone listens to them, and then I think, nobody listens to them, right? But then I see people on social media asking me when my next episode of the podcast is going to come out, so then I think, well, let's give it a try. So I'm really going to try to do this on a regular weekly basis. I need to take my own advice and be really into me, trusting that there are people out there that want to hear what I say, and hopefully find my tribe, you know, find other people that kind of understand my journey and have things to say about it as well. So I have a new logo for my podcast. It's a new artwork. So if you look for it on iTunes or, you know, Google Podcasts, I think I have it available on like 5 different platforms. I will post on my social media where you can find it. Find the new artwork, follow it. It's To Be Continued with Cristela Alonso. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your life to even pay attention to my little thoughts and stuff. And I hope to hear from you guys soon. Again, if you like the podcast, please make sure you tell others about it. So, till next time, this is Cristela Alonso, and this has been another episode of To Be Continued. See you guys next week. Bye!